I want to share a story with you this morning about a window. There is a story of two men who, they shared a hospital room. And one man was so injured that he was unable to get up from his bed, to the point that he couldn't even turn his head from side to side. He was in a brace and he could only stare up at the ceiling. His bed was located closest to the door. And his roommate, the other man, his bed was of course then located close to the window. And the man who couldn't move longed to see the world. But until he healed, he was confined to his bed with nothing to see but the ceiling. As a result, he would ask the man whose bed was beside the window to describe what he saw outside. And the man whose bed was beside the window, he was happy to do that, to share the world behind the window. He told the other man that there was a park located across the street that had children playing. People were out walking their dogs, and young lovers sat on benches, lost in one another's eyes. Day after day, the man whose bed was beside the window would describe the scene of the outside world to his roommate. This went on for several weeks until one day, the man who couldn't move woke up to discover that his roommate was gone. He asked the nurse what happened, and she informed him that he had died during the night. The man was sad to lose his friend, but he decided to ask the nurse if he could have the bed beside the window. He was getting better, and he could begin to move his neck. And he very much wanted to look out the window to see all that his friend had described to him. And the nurse replied, of course, and they made suitable arrangements, and the bed was moved over. And slowly and painfully, the man turned his head to look out the window. He was surprised, as he expected to see the sky and a park that lay beyond. Instead, he found he was looking at a brick wall. Confused, he asked the nurse about it, told her all the wonderful things that his friend had described. The nurse smiled and replied, "But the man who was in the bed, your friend, he was blind. He couldn't have known what was beyond this window." Windows. We look out of them all the time. But often, we don't truly see what is there. And within this space, the sanctuary, we have all of these lovely windows, stained glass windows. And of course, these are different because they're not like the windows to our houses or windows as we're walking along King Street looking in the shops or the window of our car. We can't see out and be afforded a view of the world. Instead, these windows, as I indicated to the kids, give us a glimpse from scenes from Scripture. They allow us to journey back to the time that Jesus walked the earth, to help us picture that, to experience those moments and stories. And I will tell you that if you can sit in this sanctuary with the lights out and the afternoon sun beaming in the windows, it is a wonderful spiritual experience just to sit in the quiet and the stillness and to take in the vistas that these windows provide. It's a great time of peace. So today and over the coming weeks, we're going to look at some of these stained glass windows in the sanctuary, and we're going to travel to the scenes in Scripture that they depict. We are not going to deal with the miracle window, and we're not going to deal with the life of David, because they've got lots of different ones in there. We'll deal with those in a subsequent time, and we're not going to deal with the St. Andrew's window. We're going to deal with the three on the east wall, and then the four that are here on the west wall here. And we're going to start on the east wall with the first one down. And the passage that is on there is from that scripture that I read from Luke's Gospel, Luke 22. The scripture that's there specifically is, "Not my will, but thine be done," is the scripture that is on that window in addition to a dedication. Jesus is in Jerusalem for the Passover. And Jesus will die on the cross soon. That's the setting. Jesus knows this. And Jesus is greatly distressed. I think that's evident by the passage. And so, as he often does, Jesus comes before God in prayer. It's a passage that focuses on the relationship between prayer and temptation. And it also echoes words that we find in the Lord's Prayer, which we prayed this morning. "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." A powerful reminder that we do seek to do God's will in all that we do. But it is in moments of temptation, moments of trial, that we are most likely to be swayed away from this. When the burden or the task becomes too great, it is then that we might take the easy way out, or simply choose not to accomplish the task. Jesus was no stranger to temptation. We often look to the earlier temptation narratives at the beginning of his ministry, after he was baptized and spent that time in the desert. And we marvel at how strong and how wise Jesus was to thwart the devil in those temptations. But as Jesus came towards the end, as he comes towards the end of his life, he was also tempted. Tempted so far that he asked God for the cup of suffering to be taken from him. He didn't want to die. He asked for it to be taken. If it be God's will that that should happen. Jesus, as much as he wanted that cup taken away, knew that it was God's will that needed to be done and not his own. And that's important and I think often hard to remember and to accept. We like to think that we are in charge, and in some ways perhaps we are. However, it's ultimately God who is our guide. It is from God that we find our path, and our understanding of that path comes through Scripture. Jesus is not impervious to temptation. As I mentioned, though he may have overcome those earlier temptations, here at the end, we see he needs strengthening. And so he goes. He prays. And an angel of God strengthens him. And I think that that's important, too, for us to remember in our own walk of faith, that God is there, that God will help us, that God will strengthen us. Because often we feel that we can't do it. We often feel the task is too difficult, that there are too many obstacles. And so we doubt and we falter. We try and we fail. By looking at the example of Jesus, we see that prayer is the place that Jesus went when he was full of doubt. Jesus knew what was coming. He knew that his death was approaching. He knew this. He understood this. Knew the implications. But he still asked God if there was another way. What are the tasks that we feel are before us as individuals and as a community of faith that will be difficult. What ministries, trials, temptations are right in front of us that will require us to pray earnestly to see them through. Perhaps it is a family situation that requires our attention. Maybe it is a difficult decision at work, an ethical dilemma that has arisen between friends. What is it that's before us? Where it could be easy, tempting, to take the easy way that requires us to come before God in prayer. As a community of faith, we pray continuously that the work that we do would bring glory to God, that the ministry we are engaged in will bear fruit for the kingdom. And perhaps we pray that others will come to faith and will join us here at worship and in the work that we do. Maybe we pray that we will remain faithful to the task that is before us. Whether it's part of our worship ministry or our outreach ministry, it might be that you are praying for a way to become more involved in the work of God's kingdom. Whatever it is, pray for it earnestly and have ears to listen and a heart to hear how God is calling you. Even in our most difficult times, we are encouraged to go to God in prayer, to ask for strength, to seek clarity, and to find peace. As people who follow Jesus, we don't just follow and emulate the ministries that Jesus took part in, those ministries of healing and hospitality, but we also are called to follow his example when it comes to our prayer life, remembering that we seek to do God's will, in all that we are and in all that we do. Amen.